We don't have a lot of choice. I mean, we're already in the...
We will call the Gates County Board of Supervisors to order for Wednesday, May 13th, 2026. At 8:45 at the clock. We will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yes.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Neither my gavel nor my button made a dent. No. Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation. Claybaugh, Haxby, Thiemann, Lytle, Dorn, and Juergens. Yeah. Up first is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve the minutes of the meeting held April 29th, 2026. Approve all claims through May 13th, 2026 in the amount of $739,351.04. Accept claim number 260500076, the Hard Rock Quarries LLC, in the amount of $2,493.34. And claim number 260500086 to RL Team and Construction, the amount of $27,696.95 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve District Court Summary Fee Report and Register of Deeds fee report for the month of April 26. Approve utility permit number 1349 to St. Mary's Catholic Church. St. Mary's will be occupying Gage County right-of-way for repairs to fence and minor grading along the Wymore Cemetery located east of Section 24, Township 2 North, Range 6 East, Sicily Township. Approve utility permit number 1350 to Northern Natural Gas Company. Northern will be performing repairs on pipeline along South 110th Road. North of Aspen Road, Northern will work in the east grader ditch right away and along the road for the repair. Located west of Section 18, Township 6 North, Range 8 East, Adams Township. I'd ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented, unless there are any items you'd like to pull off.
Motion to approve.
Second. Moved by Dorn, second by Juergens. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 260500076. Hard Rock Quarries LLC in the amount of $2,493.34. And claim number 260500086 RL Team and Construction in the amount of $27,696.95. This will bring the total amount of claims paid through May 13, 2026 to $769,541.33. These are two companies I'm associated with.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Juergens, second by Dorn. Any discussion on these items? If not, please vote. 5 in favor with Thiemann abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Anything not on the agenda that you'd like to bring up? Good morning, ma'am. If you would give your name and address for the record.
Margaret Haith, 104 West Granville, Beatrice.
Morning, Margaret.
Good morning. And first of all, congratulations, and Mr. Lytle, congratulations.
Thank you.
I wanted to speak this morning because some of us are confused that why at the last board meeting you voted to approve Ray Mulder's special use permit without putting a single condition on it, especially not adding trees. Now, as most of you know, I've been coming to these meetings on a regular basis for almost 3 years. And when you did the Hanover Township CAFO, you put on 5 conditions, one of them being to include trees around all the perimeter. Then when you did the Island Grove Township, same thing, 5 conditions, including trees all around the perimeter. Now, on August 4th, 2023, this Board of Supervisors sent a letter to the Planning and Zoning Board asking them to discuss, review some of the zoning regulations for the livestock confinement facilities. Some of the topics of discussion are tree requirements. So this board wanted the P&Z to look at putting on tree requirements for these livestock regs. Then the board, or excuse me, I'm getting my committees mixed up here, planning and zoning sent it back to the board because they wanted more public input. They asked for some town hall meetings and they wanted a committee appointed. Well, Mr. Thiemann, you did not want the town hall meetings, but you did appoint a committee of Emily Haxby, Eddie Dorn, and Dave Swavely. And through public input, and what I'm going to call is lessons learned from the other two CAFOs, the committee sent a draft of suggestions for changes to the livestock regs. So number six, livestock confinement facilities / operations minimum requirements. Tree plan for the facility. Now, I know, because I attended the P&Z hearing, but I was not able to attend the one here for the board, but the opponents, which were neighbors and neighboring farmers, their main concerns were the smell and the water usage. So Mrs. Haxby spent 2 hours researching if trees were good to put around these chicken CAFOs. She found 10 separate articles that supported her on that, saying that yes. And to put it in a nutshell, the summary of those all those researches, do trees help mitigate the smell from swine and chicken CAFOs? Yes. Strategically planted trees and shrubs, often called vegetative environmental buffers, significantly help mitigate odors, dust, and ammonia from swine and poultry CAFOs. Research shows properly designed tree buffers can reduce dust, which carries odor, by 35 to 56% and lower ammonia levels, significantly improving air quality for neighbors. And best practices for effectiveness? Design. A combination of at least three rows of fast-growing conifers and deciduous trees is recommended. And in the previous two CAFOs, that's exactly what the board had required, was three rows of red cedars and some deciduous trees. So the design, you were right on target with that. Anyway, Mr. Mulder's objection to putting trees, because he said that he thought that it would increase rodents and diseases. Well, again, researching that one, what do you know? The spread for rodents and disease are frequently linked to the dense environment of chicken CAFOs, because you've got all these chickens, all their feed, they're all concentrated in buildings, so they encourage rodents and they encourage having. So I don't think having trees around is going to, I could not find anything that having trees around was going to increase rodents and the diseases. So anyway, to sum it up, just disappointed in the vote from this board. And I guess I would just recommend that, this is for your reading pleasure. Sorry. No stick to my fingers. Just do a little more research like Mrs. Hackett next time.
Thank you. We can't converse back and forth with you. We may talk about it at P&Z a little bit.
All right. Thank you very much.
Would anyone else like to speak at public comment? If not, we will move on to committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights, Mr. Dorn.
Dave didn't tell me anything.
Stuff's running smooth.
Evidently.
New lights are on their way.
And the two companies know the
issue. They're both pointing their fingers back and forth.
No, the electrical caused the issue to reset. So we have to wait till both of them can get together to come at the same time.
Equalization, we had really not a lot of update other than we will have our refereeing system in place again. Finance and insurance, Mr. Jurgens.
Large ticket item. Advanced correctional health care, jail on-site medical services, $10,972.83. Applied connective technologies, IT services, $12,951.92. G-Works, GIS website, $26,379.67. The answer is concrete, sand and gravel, rock and gravel, $101,572.13. RL team construction gravel, $27,696.95. Sepp Brothers Petroleum, fuel, oil, grease, $23,497.67.
Thank you, Mr. Jurgens. Veterans Service Committee, Mr. Lytle.
Kyle's here.
Morning, Kyle.
Smiling today, too.
What's that?
Smiling today, too.
For now. Sorry I haven't made it over. The Veterans Committee, they met March 19th. Reviewed the NVA, which is our Nebraska Veteran Aid Fund. We had four claims for the quarter. One for $2,692 for utilities and bills. We had two funerals that paid out $3,500 apiece. That was for cremations. And one veteran got a vehicle fix, and that went through the state. So year to date, the NVA has paid out $2,775 to our veterans in Gage County. Our county Veterans Aid Fund, $631 for a shutoff notice for a veteran, $40 for gas to get a veteran back and forth to his appointments in Lincoln. Had a veteran with a root canal that got done at Plaza Ridge and another utility shutoff. We had 15 veterans pass away, one from World War II, four from Vietnam, five from Korea, and five peacetime vets. We did get the notice from the VA for the last fiscal year. We have 735 veterans in the county. So with their disability, they brought in over $12.9 million to the county with the work that we do, putting the claims in and everything else over at the office.
That goes directly to our veterans?
Yes, that is the disability compensation they receive for their service-connected disabilities. $1.2 million has came back to the spouses of deceased veterans in the form of the DIC. That was that. Memorial Day, flags are going to go up next Thursday at 4. They will go down on Tuesday after Memorial Day, both at 4 o'clock. Softball team's available again. They were great help. We do got a couple other great groups that are helping again this year, so hopefully it's a quick and painless. We are looking at the signs along the road that are catching flags. I think we lost three flags last year due to the signs. So we have, last year I think we put tape on one of them, and that kind of helped release the flag from getting stuck too. The Nebraska Department of Veterans Affairs, last year they did World War II recognition, doing the challenge coin that they presented them. This year it is a Korean vet's turn. So they are doing their program the 27th of July at the Capitol. I have started reaching out to our Korean vets, and I have four so far that's committed to receiving it. The youngest one is 95 years old. So it's hard for them to get to Lincoln. Now, what they'd like to do is they would like to have a ceremony here in town. I was thinking at the Legion or something along those lines over lunch, if the board would like to join or approve for me to do something like that for our veterans. It would be a great deal, I think. So,
any opposition to that?
Our total list is 39 veterans. I went through the ones that actually have the medal on their discharge paperwork, so they were boots on the ground. I'm going to go through the rest of them and see if they would still like to be recognized since they did serve during that time. So,
For running the Lincoln, too, we do have a couple vehicles if you have time to run them up. If they want to go to the Capitol, there are a couple vehicles available. I know that's probably more difficult, and it may be difficult to get in and out, but if that is something that you have vets that do want to go up to, I think that'd be a great...
That is the other thing. I will be out of state for a wedding on that day, and the four that have confirmed so far, they're open to any date that we do choose, so I would just like to confer with you guys and get a date set. Like I said, I'm still in the process of going through the list to see how many veterans we'll have to have.
Would there be some that still wanted to go to Lincoln even if you aren't available?
So far, my list, no. They all want to get it done here.
Okay.
Just because due to the age.
Sure. No, that's understandable.
And that is the four that have confirmed they're in homes anyway. So I will have to work out transportation with the homes, or if I could take one of our vehicles and pick them up and get them out to the Legion. So, Rhonda did go to training in Kearney, April 14th through the 17th, and the report back from her was it was great training. I will go in September. I believe it's the 3rd through the 5th, and it's also in Kearney. The motor vehicle tax exemption worked great with Lori. We got through everything, and as of right now, I haven't heard any complaints. There was a couple hiccups with getting driver's license numbers in, but we got that taken care of, and so that's all going good.
Vet service awards, do we have any candidates for?
I'm working on that. I see Fairbury always has theirs getting posted, and I don't know what else to do trying to get veterans recognized. With our honor guard and everything else, those guys are all getting older, and I mean, we haven't had a veteran funeral for quite a while, and now we had three of them to plan this week. And so with the time they're spending on that and everything else, and I don't know if it's something that maybe put out like a meeting wise to get more veterans my age involved. It just seems like people my age are coming home and they want nothing to do with the organizations or any of the details that we have.
It's not just that. I mean, organizations as a whole, there isn't as much participation as there was years ago, whether it's churches or volunteering in general. So, I mean, it's not just you guys.
It's just tough. There are so many things that our older veterans are doing for the community and everything else, and there's just no support behind them anymore.
It's too bad.
So I'm trying to think of ideas of stuff to do to get the younger generation of veterans involved, and it's just tough. They even coming in to get claims done, they want nothing to do with it. And I mean, it's something that they're all entitled to for signing the dotted line. And it's just getting them to realize of how important this stuff is. So.
Any questions for Mr. Vick?
Kyle, have you seen any trends or anything that's going on in veterans as far as, you know, a couple of years back, you guys started with the phone a friend or the, you know.
Buddy program.
Yeah, the buddy program.
The buddy program, and it's, Davin's asking me to take on a little bit more of that because he's getting offline, and with my younger daughter and stuff like that, I try and make as many of the meetings as I can.
Yeah.
And
still going good, though.
The numbers are just low. I'll go to the Legion meeting tonight, and unfortunately besides the officials, there's only three or four other members that show up. Now, the VFW, on the other hand, they get 20, 25 members a night for meetings. And
I was at some service organizations, though, that used to have hundreds of people.
Yes.
And you go to a meeting, and there's
10,
15, and they said, this is a good meeting.
And buddy check, geez. I mean, that's the 22nd of every month, and maybe 6 or 7 members, and it's always a free meal. There's always a business in town that's sponsoring the meal, and that's all we get to show up, and it seems like show up for the meal, and they're out the door.
So is that an indication that, you know, we're not have as many issues, or is it just that they're withdrawn, you know, they're withdrawn and just don't want to be?
I think it's withdrawn. I really do.
It's kind of scary in a way, you know, for their health.
It is, especially, I mean, that buddy check, it was started in, when I first came back in 2011, I mean, there was 40, 50 people there at night. And yes, you had the meal, we set that stuff up, and I mean, we used to have a speaker every night.
Yeah.
And that just don't happen. I
can't make people participate.
No, you can't, but yeah. Okay. Well, if there's anything you need, you let us know.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Kyle.
Human Resources, Employee Relations. We still don't have an answer from the FOPA, as far as I know. They've got the information.
Do we have a close at the end for?
I think we do.
Okay.
We also have had some discussions on sick leave usage and following rules on that, with pushback and on that, and having a hard time using it as sick leave or just meeting the basic requirements. We are potentially looking at a PTO option where there would be fewer rules, fewer restrictions. It would be paid time off that you can use for whatever you want. You would earn it accordingly. We just have to put stipulations in place on that. There have been some requests to change things up to backdoor it. I've already denied it. As we talk later, there may be things that can be brought up on that. You guys can overrule me on it, but we'll try to continue to treat employees all the same as we always have. We won't allow people to backdoor things, and we will keep things all on the up and up, trying to be as fair as possible to everybody. Law enforcement, emergency management, planning, and zoning. Mr. Lytle.
Lisa, you're in the front row.
Okay. Sounds good. Good morning, everybody. Just going to share with you a date coming up. Next Wednesday, a week from today, planning and zoning will meet. We have a hearing at 7:15, and that is on the City of Beatrice's wellhead protection modifications to their wellhead planning area. Basically, as you look at the map and the application, it will be to release the acres on the west side of the Blue River, which is referred to as the City of Beatrice's city well field, because that water, as was presented at your last meeting or at the last hearing that the city had, is no longer used for municipality public drinking water. So they're looking at those modifications. So, and then we will also be moving forward. We set a date of June 16th for our livestock regulation hearing. We will also have another hearing for Isley Estates, which is a new subdivision that's being proposed with the preliminary plat up in Nemahal Township. So that's what's on our agenda. And the rest we'll save for later.
Touching on PNC, Margaret and Ms. Haith has already walked out, but
yep.
Just really briefly, she had made a statement that there were tree requirements on the Island Grove CAFO. That wasn't true, and that was voted down. There wasn't a permit granted on that one. The CAFO up on 82nd, that one did have a tree plan. We're kind of looking into that because those trees are weak at best. And just to touch on this, Planning and Zoning did look at the tree plan. They studied that, and it came back that a tree plan was not required by Planning and Zoning. I just don't want anyone to confuse recommendations or things we want them to look at as saying these are requirements or anything else. We asked P&Z to look at it. After you guys studied it and brought it back to us, not that we always agree with P&Z either, but after you all studied it, the recommendation was not to have a tree plan. So I know Ms. Haith wanted these things put into place, and Ms. Haxby had multiple studies in favor of trees. I would have a feeling with very little work I could find multiple studies that say trees are bad, even though I'm a tree fan. But I just wanted to address that since it was brought up.
Mr. If there's a tree plan, there's got to be a maintenance plan with it.
That was proposed, though, as well this last time, I would say, a tree plan and a maintenance plan. But I wish Ms. Haith was here. But recommendations are recommendations to take a look at. You guys did take a look at them, so it wasn't blown off. It was looked into. And
please understand, the hearing process allows for the public to come back, you know, and present. So this is the commission's review of what was presented to them with their conversation, and then we move to public hearing. So public input, and maybe they'll come back on. I'm not sure. So
you said you found research articles that said that they're a problem?
Within a few minutes, I'm sure I could.
Send them to me. I'd okay. Read them.
I'll send them over. I mean, I'm sure within a few minutes I can find something like that. It's
okay.
You can find articles either direction on anything, unfortunately. Depending on which way your opinion leans, those are the ones that seem to be more factual at times. Not always.
Yeah.
But, and I don't agree with that. I don't think trees are bad, Emily. I'm saying that facetiously. I think trees are a good thing. But you guys did look into it.
As I recall, some of the conversation from the commission is each location is unique. You know, if you're comparing Island Grove's location, that was surrounded all by trees, you know. So there's just different things. So conditions can be used to place on, you know, the actual permit and then be recommended up to you guys, and you do the same thing. So.
And this is going to be a conversation we keep having. We have more opposition to things all the time. We have permits that come in that there's opposition to that I would never expect opposition to. But
so just to speak to that for a second, I just quickly put in Google, are trees a negative around CAFO units? And part of the statement is while trees themselves are beneficial, they must be part of a comprehensive management plan, as dense trees directly adjacent to buildings can sometimes impede air circulation, which is crucial for building ventilation, which speaks to the point that every unit is different. Now, from our viewpoint, you know, we can look at every one differently and how the tree plan fits. So I don't disagree, but that is...
Yeah. And there were studies that said that, but you have to have a certain distance. So it's about the planning of it and how you keep the distance away from those ventilation fans. But, yeah.
Just to have a generic three rows or whatever, you just got to fit it to each program.
Yeah, that's why when we discussed it, I said a tree plan. Give me something. I'm not set to a certain thing. Just open to options.
But we're also going to have continued, and we'll have to pause here in just a minute for a very brief pause. But we're going to have these continued discussions. Are we ag friendly? Are we not? Are we wanting agriculture? Are we wanting livestock? Livestock friendly, not ag friendly. But that's going to be a continued discussion because we keep having more opposition towards livestock, which you didn't have 50 years ago like we do today.
Yeah, I would say the bovine industry right now has, you know, some intriguing incentives for producers as well. But then yet when you compare what some of the conversation, as I recall, you know, with feedlot situations, you know, you want it as open as possible for airflow. So, but yeah, the livestock industry is intriguing right now, I think, for some producers.
But aren't them chickens free range?
Technically, yes. I mean,
that's why you didn't want trees, because of disease.
I'm going to say a lot of that is subjective. Depending on what side of the fence you're on, something's bad or something's good. And my point was not that trees are bad, but you can find articles that say whatever you want to hear, unfortunately. And that does make it difficult, whether it's wind, solar, livestock. I mean, the sun's good for you, but it causes skin cancer. I mean, it just doesn't matter what it is. There's two sides.
Thank you.
We'll take a really brief pause here. Lisa, I don't even think you need to step down. Are there any RFPs in the audience for the Age Connect app? Do we have any RFPs?
I'd like to, since we didn't get any RFP responses with this one, I'd like to open it back up and put a future date in 4 weeks from now.
My question is, can we do that? Just say we will wait another 2 weeks, 4 weeks? Do we have to re-advertise? Do we have to go through the entire process again?
You should be able to reopen it up at a future date, but yes, you would still want
re-advertise.
To
have it open June 10th?
You might be pushed over the holiday. I'll have to see, because we have to get everything in.
Would it be fair, next available meeting, to have it opened and we'll advertise it again? If it's too quick, the 10th.
Yeah, we could say the 24th. And
should be able to get it in.
You aren't doing anything anymore. You finished yesterday.
But no, I think this...
Those are dangerous words to say.
So
newspaper deadline.
We'll stretch this back out to another date, the 10th or 24th, we'll re-advertise.
Here. I can see what the deadlines are.
I really don't have anything else unless you would like for me to do the report now on the assembly building. So,
on what?
On the commercial building for Bev Acton. So.
Just going back to the conversation that we were having there, going back 50 years, I'm going to tell you that livestock had people that were not in my backyard back then as well. And it, I mean, when you had producers like, you know, I mean, you know, Wiggins did a pretty good job. You know, they were, you got producers that are good with their neighbors. You got producers that are not. You know, I remember a chicken barn that every time they, you know, took the manure out of the chicken barns and they drag it across the highway and they leave poop all over the highway and people get it on their cars and they were irritated. There was a lot of people irritated by it. And, you know, and that was 50 years ago now. Well, maybe not quite 50. But, you know, along, and it's where you see producers that are good neighbors, you don't see as many complaints. When you have producers that are not good neighbors, so to speak, you see complaints. And it's been that way for the beginning of time, I'm going to guess.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say, Lisa?
That would be fair to say. I mean, the state has entered into so much regulation, though. Now, you know, the good neighbor. We've had those conversations. The good neighbors out there can be done, but on paper, those a lot of times they're hesitating whether or not they should sign away a right that they have. You know, so that doesn't come as easy anymore.
Correct.
So, there's too much liability involved there.
Yeah.
I think it's like a moving trend, though. The more commercial these facilities get, the more corporate they get, the less care there is. And then that's why it makes it harder for the next ag producer to put in an application because of that bad reputation.
And that's going to happen more because we're going to have more corporate
field of farming. Which is unfortunate because that's where the bad reputation comes from.
Incredibly unfortunate.
It makes it harder for the people that do it right, that do care, to be able to do those things.
Corporate takes good care of their hogs, I mean, and poultry and so forth. It's just a matter of not being there continually or residing on that particular property, too.
Or connection to
the community. Yep. So they have the same requirements as someone like me.
It's just the lack of the care of the community, though, that definitely reflects poorly on the ag industry, which makes it harder for those producers putting in those applications.
We're losing the small town, the mom and pop shop farms is what we're losing. It's going to be more corporate. We have the same backlash on big farmers. They can be row croppers. It doesn't matter how good a farmer they are. People don't like them because they're big and they took a rent, you know, they took a lease farm away from them and paid more money, made less on it. I mean, unfortunately, farming is becoming bigger business, and it's just like everything else. It doesn't matter what field you're in, they're growing, and it's that dynamic shifts. I'm like Emily. I would like the small farm where mom and dad are there and the kids are running around and you've got everything on one place and you kind of grow and take care of it that way. We still have that in Nebraska, but it's getting bigger where we're also getting the big players now.
We have a lot of good producers, though, that are corporate as well. So, we'd have to define what corporate, in the end is.
The thing is, though, too, you have good producers that are running a tight ship, clean as can be, and neighbors still don't like them.
Yeah.
So it's, if you don't like your neighbor, you probably don't like what they're doing.
Thanks.
Thanks, Lisa. Anything else for Lisa at this time? Mr. Lytle?
No, Sheriff.
Good morning. You all should have a letter I put in your desk there earlier. Just an indication, Northeast Juvenile Services, we use up in Madison with our juvies, are raising rates starting July 1 from $305 to $341 per day. Could go more, just depends how the administrative office court probation do, I guess. But that's just a heads up, so you'd be aware of that. Nothing is cheaper anymore. So
I figured that was Emily. I didn't realize it was you.
Any questions?
Gus, just the little conversation that the three of us were having here about the fingerprinting machine. I think it'd be good to just go over that a little bit, Trevor, with the board all together, what we're doing there and the cost of a new machine and what the next couple years look like with that machine and all that. Why don't we do it there? Yeah, because we got to approve it later.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sorry, Trevor.
Is Caleb here for the Gage Connect?
He is. He's got a little update on. Is it only on Gage Connect?
Yeah, it's just information.
Caleb, while you're here, do you want to come up before our next item and give your name and association for the record?
Gage Development Coalition. I'm Caleb Fioni, the executive director of that fun organization. I was going to start out by saying honorable chairman and fantastic supervisors and county clerk, the greatest county clerk west of the Mississippi. So,
oh, somebody's buttering up.
Wow.
Does this mean you're asking for money like the sheriff?
Actually, no, not today. So I just thought it'd be nice to try something different today. Just try to be nice. No, I come with some really cool things. First off, Leadership Beatrice is having their graduation today. And then next week, I'm meeting with that leadership team, and we're going to transform that to Leadership Gage. So it's going to be open to the whole county, and we're really excited about that. So hoping we can get a second cohort up and running and then be able to take it to all of the different communities. And I really want the urban folk to see the rural. I really want the rural folk to see the urban and learn leadership, because leadership's not taught in the classroom. It's done by grit. So, but we're graduating our class today, and I was the one at the bottom. They're scraping the bottom of the barrel, figuring out who should be the one to speak. And I said, "We'll go see if Eric Thiemann's available. Mm-hmm. You're here, so I'll do it for you." And then the other thing is we have Homestead Days coming up. I'm not sure if in the past, as I'm learning that whole committee, if the county has ever been asked to put any county vehicles in the parade, but I would love to have some county vehicles in the parade. So that's something I just wanted you guys to chew on. I don't necessarily need a formal yes right now, but within the next couple of weeks would be ideal. We can get you slotted in the parade, and it's no fee at all. So
The sheriff put some stuff in. I'm sure that the road department would like to put something in.
We could have the motor grader in.
You could, but you don't have one. So we can clean one up.
Hey, couldn't we put Caleb in the back of a patrol unit like he was getting hauled in? I mean, we could do something like that.
He is probably actually busy that day running around.
I'm actually at the front of the parade holding a banner that is taller than me. So hopefully I'm not seen nor heard. That's the goal. So,
but I'm sure we can come up with something.
Yeah, but that committee is moving pretty quick. Next year's committee is going to start right after. I don't like the eight ball being dropped. And then I want to see if I'm not going to volunteer any supervisors, but if a supervisor would like to be on that committee, so the county can be involved in any of that planning, we'd sure love that. So kind of looking at Mr. Lytle since he's tourism. Hint, hint, wink, wink. But
it'd be
good. So other than that, the Gage Connect, I think the person I spoke with does not work at that company anymore. So I went through the different process and just asked them. Asked them on Monday.
Before you say anything, we have put this out for RFP again, request for proposal, and it will be due the 10th of June.
Okay. So they have a longer process than I thought. So I can reach out if we haven't gotten any. But other than that, they have a very extensive process, which is not what I think a traditional RFP.
Does that give enough time for folks the 10th, or do we need to back that up?
I think so, because I think we could reach out to a couple others as well. Trying to shoot local Nebraska first, and then if there's app developers in the Midwest.
When we open this back up for RFPs, send it to the local Nebraska ones, but don't wait. Send it to everybody.
Okay.
I would say look for the best.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Whether it's coast or it's in the middle of America.
Right.
Is that plenty of time, or you need to back it up, you
10th
think?
10th of June.
Yeah, or do you want the 24th?
I think that'd be fine. Yeah, I think that'd be fine. We can send out all the stuff next week.
This app needs to be the best.
Let's just do the 24th. Okay. Give him time. And that way he has time to get them sent out. They have time to respond.
24th?
Send it to everybody. Any, it doesn't matter where they're at. We can sift through the responses when we get them.
Perfect. The 9:15.
For the record, it is not called Eric's app. It's still Gage Connect. But
probably a better name.
I'd say so. But that's all my updates I have. So I have to go put a graduation uniform on now. So.
Caleb, for the leadership gauge,
yes.
It won't be separate rural, and it'll be everybody into one leadership group.
Correct.
Continuing.
Correct.
Yes, I think that's a great idea.
This has been great, though. Everyone I've talked to, so they come and talk to board clerk and attorneys here also, and then they tour the building. I've talked to a lot of them afterwards. Every single one of them, the first time we talked to them, I thought it was kids, high school kids, and when they were grown-ups coming in, I was surprised. Every single one of them I've talked to have said they've learned so much, found out so many different things that they never would have known. So it is a beneficial.
They do have an itinerary, an extensive itinerary for the year, and they go and they'll do Ag Day. It was just, I think, last Wednesday or the Wednesday prior. So they get to learn about that. And then we have Local Government Day, which is what Eric was talking about. And then they have Legislative Day, so they go up to Lincoln and go and watch the legislature.
Mr. Lyle, you have 1 minute.
So they do all that. So
the only other thing I was going to say is that, and I'm getting old, so I don't remember how long it's been going on, but you know, originally that was created to try and create more involvement in bodies like this and the council and stuff like that. And I'm not sure how much of a yield it's created for people to run for offices, but that I know that was a part of the original reasoning for it.
Thank you, Caleb.
Thank you.
With that, I would ask for a motion.
Huh?
You're not old yet.
Old enough, I forget.
To go into public hearing at 9:30 to hear support or opposition from the public on special use permit 2026-3 for the operation of a commercial public assembly building located on a tract of land in the southwest quarter of the northwest quarter, section 24 37 of Rockford Township in Gage County, Nebraska. Motion for public hearing at 9:30.
Move.
Second.
Moved by Juergens, second by Dorn. Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. We will begin with the recommendation from Planning and Zoning.
Absolutely. Good morning again. You have been given that application with the full recommendation coming from the board, or the commission, I should say. So just a little bit of a summary on this particular one. It's in an A1 district. The proposed building is on the Afton Farm, which consists of 240 acres anyway. Back in November 2024, Bev and Terry submitted an application to me. It was approved to replace the existing catering kitchen that she had there at the premise already, and then for agricultural storage shed. And so Bev will share with you how that came about when the change of the use had conversations had had, and I'll let her do that. But basically, this is to bring this same building to a commercial assembly building. Bev has met with all the applicants required. She'll share with you the Nebraska State Fire Marshal's requirements. They also met with the Blue Springs Fire, the Health Department, Rhodes. Mark was part of that conversation as well. There's a review in the packet as well as just what he was looking at for signage and so forth, since that is on 94th Road and a county-maintained road. We had one property owner that spoke in opposition at that particular hearing, and most of that was coming from he had a cabin to the north of it, testified with concerns as to noise, additional noise, lights, traffic concerns on that curve and so forth. So, but after reviewing, the commission does find that the location and land use conforms to the viable regulations in an A1 district, and so they are recommending approval. Terry Acton, who does serve on our commission, did recluse himself from that particular vote. So we were 4 yeses, and then we had 2 absent that night. So
I was there that evening too, and that the neighbor said he wasn't opposed to them or the project. He just didn't want it by property that he happened to own. Yep. Along the curve.
That's it. Thanks.
If anyone would like to sign up to speak, there is a sign-up sheet. I don't know that anyone other than I do have Ms. Acton signed up to speak. I don't know if there's anyone else that would like to, but Ms. Acton, if you would come up, I'll swear you in.
Harassment already.
Good morning, Bev. Would you give your name and address for the record?
Beverly Acton, 31250 South 94th Road, Holmesville, Nebraska, 68310.
Please raise your right hand. You swear affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Please begin.
Okay. Good morning. As I said, Bev Acton, and I am submitting an application for a special use permit on our farm. The site would house a catering kitchen and a small event center. My husband and Terry and I would be the sole individuals operating and in charge of the said business. The event center would host small weddings, family gatherings, baby or bridal showers, and business meetings. The area could comfortably seat approximately 150 people. Operations would be from 8 in the morning to 1 a.m., depending upon the event and its time. I would be applying for a liquor license for the building at a later date. The building is ADA accessible inside and out. There are drop areas in front and in the back of the building that are already concreted. A little bit of history. For those of you that know me, you know that I have catered for over the last 25 years and also running a restaurant in Beatrice. Since retiring from that, I thought I just wanted to cater and purchase and purchased a permit to build a kitchen with storage. Since then, I have been requested to continue with events, so I have chosen to convert the storage area into an event area. I guess you'd say I have come full circle, as the original milk barn on the farm was where I started catering some 25 years ago. I still currently hold a Nebraska catering license, which allows me to do prep work out of the 402 restaurant. I have met with the state health inspector for their recommendations of the kitchen and the bar area, and I am presently working on the completion of these tasks. The building site would be north and east of our existing home. I have enclosed a sheet with a drawing of its approximate location on the farm. A set of blueprints also have been included in your packet. The building was constructed by Harms Construction and purchased through Pickerel Lumber. Parking will be on the north and the west of the building, with handicap parking on the south by the main entrance. I have spoken with Mark from the Roads Department, and he will be coming out to go over the parking with us and the entrances from the road. He has encouraged me to put signs to make sure that the patrons know that parking in the ditch is against the law. The other thing that the gentleman that spoke in opposition, one thing he talked about was the S-curve and how it could be a potential danger. So I'm going to put that on the back of the bathroom doors and exiting the building and try to remind people, if they're going north, that that is, I mean, it is a curve. And if someone's coming, it could potential for an accident. So I will try to do what I can on that. Fire, I have met with the state fire marshal, and she has indicated those things that need to be done to meet her criteria. I have also met with the Blue Springs Fire Department, and Fire Department has been contacted. We've gone over the specifics that they will require. They will need an exit plan by each door and how I will handle incumbent weather. The plans are included in your packet. Building will be equipped with an alarm system that will be fed directly to 911, then go to us and the Blue Springs Fire Department, because sometimes those things can get kicked off, and I don't want them to have to come out if it's nothing. When emergency weather is a threat, they would be asked to evacuate within time. If it does not allow that, there will be a walk-in cooler and freezer in the kitchen that we could go into. The kitchen will not be required to have a suppression system, as I will not be using deep fat fryers or grills, and a hood would be placed over the stoves. The kitchen will require fire extinguishers, and the large room would have four of them, plus the one that the state wants. Water and sewer. The source of water comes from our well, but will go through a purification system to be used for drinking. The sewer is connected to a lagoon south of the building in a fenced area. Garbage is handled by a Marysville company that picks up on our farm regularly. The state electrical inspector. The inspector has been to our site twice and inspected everything, but he will come back one more time for a final inspection. Building layout. On the west end, the first 32 feet by 60 are the kitchen. I know that sounds large to you, but by the time you take out 20 feet by 12 feet for a freezer and walk-in cooler, it takes up a lot of space. The rest of the building houses bathrooms and storage areas in a 35 by 24 area. The rest of the building is a L-shaped main event area. which is approximately 4,200 feet. I have visited with Sheriff Gustafson about any past altercations in our area. Only one was recorded in the last 15 years. He will come out and do a walkthrough of the building when I get ready to apply for my liquor license. We are very comfortable running an event as one was attached to the restaurant and was a very active part of our business for 15 years. I will also be sending out personal letters to my surrounding neighbors to inform them of the plans that we have. And as I say, I only had one that he wasn't in opposition. He was more in opposition about when I'm not there, what would my kids do with it? I don't know what my kids will do with it. I would hope they would be just as respectful of the neighbors. That's basically everything about it. Do you have any questions? No?
Do you anticipate additional odor from the lagoon or water issues?
No.
I happened to be at the P&Z meeting that night just because a couple members had asked me to come and visit about something else. I would like to say from the board, thank you for your investment in the area. 240 acres is not really accurate. That might be the site that it actually sits on. There's a lot more acreage around there. You've done a great job in the county with your business throughout the years. A lot of us have enjoyed your catering at many a different place, but we'd like to thank you for putting this additional business in an agricultural area. This is how Gage County grows, and we bring people in from the outside. Thank you for your continued service and continued investment in Gage County. Anything from the board?
No questions? Come on.
Good luck.
Yeah, hopefully it goes really, really well.
Well, I just a light. I don't want to go as crazy as I used to be.
I've heard you say that before.
Okay.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak at public hearing in support or opposition to Ms. Acton's catering expansion business?
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Beth.
Thanks, Beth. If not, I would ask for a motion to come out of public hearing at 9:43.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Lytle. Please vote. 6 in favor. We are back in regular session. That will be on the agenda in a couple weeks for a vote. Thank you for coming in, Bev. Sorry for all the hoops we do make people jump through for the permits, but it's all part of the process. With that, we will go back to Road and Bridge. Mr. Jurgens.
Mark, he kind of reviewed me briefly on how some of the projects are going, so let's have him talk about that.
Concrete box projects. Gus Construction is working on Project 1271 at North 22 Grant, which is on Chestnut, just east of Southwest 100. Last Wednesday, they poured the north half of the foundation. Last Friday, they poured the south half of the foundation. Today, they're pouring the north half of the walls and deck. Friday, they'll be pouring the south half of the walls and deck. So they are moving quite right along. Project 1280 or 1268 is on 82nd. We've had some conflicts with some utilities. As of yesterday, all the conflicts are clear. Nextlake had to come in and rebore some of their fiber line. Wasn't deep enough for the diversion channel. So they had that done as of yesterday. They will be splicing over yet tonight about 1 a.m. Windstream had to move a pedestal back and put a temp line, and Norris had to move a power pole, two power poles, and backfeed some lines. But all that is clear. Gus will be mobilizing next week and starting on that project probably next week. Vogue Enterprises had a pre-con meeting with them yesterday for projects 1101 and 1102. Those are the two projects we teamed up with Saline County, and these are the two projects that are just west of Beatrice. They are anticipating starting the subcontractor coming in and removing the bridges and starting grading here. They were hoping to start on Monday, but they're thinking it might be Wednesday, Thursday of next week. Be there for 30 days, give or take, and then start on project 1102, which is just south of that other project. So by the end of May, we should have probably three box culverts started and working to complete. So I'm hoping by mid-June we should have the one over in the Grant area really finishing up. So
moving right along this year.
Moving right along.
Armor coat update?
I talked to him a couple weeks ago. He was looking for locations to stockpile armor coat, and I have not. Where they're at, they're having some delays with some weather, but he is still anticipating getting it done this year.
And tree letters are going out.
I will have the mass tree letter. I'm hoping to have that mailed out by Friday. We have them all packaged. I need to get with Don. I know these first couple days this week you've been busy, so I haven't wanted to bother you. But we will probably be coming up to use the post.
Busy with what?
Yes, yeah. Actually, do you see it being ironic that you want all these trees taken out, but you want to plant trees other places?
With the correct setbacks, sir.
No.
That was rhetorical.
No, I don't.
I couldn't help it.
On that tree litter, too, that the mass tree litter that we had sent out that I had Ms. Fanning and Emily review, Becky, our weed superintendent, asked if we could put their noxious weed notification on the backside. So we're doing one side tree letter and the backside a noxious weed letter. So we're killing two birds with one stone. I thought it was an excellent idea since we're paying for the postage for the one. Why not just kill two birds with one stone? So residents will be seeing that letter probably next week. And it is in bright yellow paper.
As requested.
Yes,
talk
sir.
Talk about the CMPs.
CMPs for culverts. I have two projects that are left on the ground. Eaton still has to get us four more projects. I know they're made. They're just having difficulties getting them delivered with all their other items. And then I will be submitting here in the next couple weeks another round of culverts to be ordered out on. So
keep them coming.
Just with Caleb asking about that for homestead days, that's probably not a bad idea. We could run one of the new blades, newer blades, down the road or something like that.
There are some fine-tuned questions that need to be asked, but those can be at a different time, too. So.
Sure, we can make something work on that. I know.
I can't be in all the vehicles at one time.
We'll figure something out there, though. It's good to have a presence in any of the
communities. I agree. I've wondered why we haven't done it on certain other parades or something. So,
anything for Mr. Kunke? How about our mill overlays? Are we any closer? I mean, I know we're only 2.5 years into this. Are we getting closer to bidding?
We're in the middle of environmental process, the environmental review process.
Any idea? It won't be this calendar year, probably.
We're still hoping for this calendar year. Well, no, not this calendar
year. No, we're out of time for this one, but maybe this fiscal year, otherwise 27 for the first two projects?
Yes.
Do we have a time frame on this? Because we're going to be hitting 3-4 years.
I think we're still hoping for this calendar year getting it in.
With HUD, we have, I think, like 8 years to complete it. So that's why I don't think that they're pushing as hard as the other one.
Gotcha. So we're not under a time constraint, though.
No.
I can't remember if it was last week or the week before. Manila Wagner was down. We walked Locust Road for concrete patching. We marked several patching spots on there. Towards the east end, patching needs to be very severe, so we might be doing it into a couple phases to kind of move it around. With that being said, NDOT superintendent was over in the area yesterday and gave me a call that he was like, we can save you maybe 6 to 8 year patches on the west side. And then I asked the questions of like, well, does the state want to take this over? Is there additional funding? Several other questions. I just, for the notes that I have, the state still owns still owns that road. We just cover the maintenance. So I asked those questions. He did send out an email first thing this morning about 6:30, asking other members with the NDOT if they can assist me. So I'm hoping to find more information out on Locust Road here in the next week or two. But yes.
So if the state still owns that, are there stipulations on what extent we have to maintain it?
What maintenance we need to do, correct. So that's kind of where we're starting at. But Mr. Manila or Mr. Mace and I came out. We marked all the patching that we thought were the worst spots. The survey guys were there the following day to survey all those marked spots so that it's on a plan so that we can start doing the possible bidding out for their patching repairs.
But we do not own that road.
We're getting more information, but correct. The notes that I have that are taped onto one of my desks, it states that we are just doing the maintenance on that. The state retains ownership.
So we have a maintenance agreement.
We have something. That I'm asking for all that paperwork.
Okay.
So. Village of Adams. I contacted them a couple weeks ago, spoke with the city clerk. At that time, their council was on site. She was going to call me back to maybe council would talk to me. He left right away, but he said he was going to get a hold of Ms. Fanning and set up a meeting. But the other day when I was up there, I noticed they do have a noise ordinance sign on the south side of their village. Which I don't know how you could put a noise ordinance on just one section of road and not their entire village limits. So, just questions I'm asking. Well, there's a lot more if I want to do, but no, that's all I got.
Which you do not control anything in the village anything. Limits, nor do you participate in any decision making.
We are ordering a big sign order that we are ordering signs to start to state the start of county maintenance and end of county maintenance for a bunch of these villages.
Fantastic. Anything else for Mr. Conkey? Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
We will continue. Accept, reject, or award bid for the jail project bond financing. We received one proposal on this. Mr. Lytle, do you or Ms. Haxby want to take this?
Emily's dying too.
I looked through this RFP response, and I don't see any problems with it. I know I've heard of them. I've seen this guy work recently here because I had attended the Tri-County bond hearings meetings. I don't have any problem with this company, and I think it's good to move forward and get them part of the process so that we can start working on it. I would move to accept the RFP response from DA Davidson.
We have a motion by Emily.
Second.
Second by Dorn. Mr. Claybaugh.
I'd like to, like I said in the committee meeting last Friday, I'd like to see this postponed and rebid since we only got one response on this. This is too big of a project to only receive one bid. And I think if we would put on there like a short time frame of a couple weeks or something like that, I don't think it would postpone anything that we really have going on. Nothing against this company. I'm sure they're a great company, but just one bid's just not enough.
He said he would like to extend or put it back a ways. Just a question for Ms. Fanning first. We can't extend, correct? We would have to
You'd have to reject
request.
This. You'd have to close it. You would have to reopen bids and re-advertise.
Okay. I just wanted to know how that works for sure. Additional discussion on this.
Right.
I mean, I don't obviously enjoy having one response, but when we get one, a single response, and it's a qualified response, I don't see any reason why we can't or shouldn't move forward with it.
Are there numbers on that response?
They are not made public yet.
Okay, I mean, that would be crooked if you ask me.
What do you mean numbers?
As far as percentages, things like that.
No, it does. It has like a. It gives a range because we don't know the cost of the project yet. We're not there. We don't have a design. We're still taking public input and getting that into a plan. They don't actually charge anything either until, like, it's after. So they do the upfront work, and if it's an unsuccessful vote of the people, it's not a. There's no fees involved. So I don't see any reason why we can't move forward and get them involved as we're getting closer to, we've pulled the survey results. I'm just trying to get it into a pretty looking format so it's easy to read. But we are taking that public input and putting it into a design and getting closer to where we're going to have some numbers, so they're going to have to start working with us on that.
Additional discussion, questions, comments?
I respect Rick's opinion, but I do agree with Emily. It doesn't look... looks to be a fine proposal, and you know, if we go through the process of rejecting and reopening and all the above, it's going to take more than 2 weeks. I don't have a problem with moving forward with it myself.
It's always better to have one. I would like to extend it too. If we can't extend it, and we're going to go another month or more.
We would also run the risk, because you have to reject this proposal, reopen it. You would run the risk of them not putting in another proposal either.
Correct.
So while we might get a new one, you don't know.
Yeah.
Comments, questions? If not, please vote. We have 5 in favor, Claybaugh voting nay, and Adams absent. Motion carries. Well, that's a tough one. Past performance on that one. We have accepted bids when we've had one. So we do have precedence set also.
I think this may be an RFP for bond financing. We might want to actually send out directly to some of these bond financing people, because they obviously didn't see it. And this is such a big project, I'm sure that they...
And it's specialty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we may have to be sending out directly to some of these bond financing companies.
Up next, approve or disapprove agreement with Cidnet in cartel for inmate phone services. This is the one that the sheriff and... Mr. Rue brought to us. There are some changes in the agreement due to changes in what is allowable to be marked up on top of charges for the inmates to communicate. They're our current provider. This would continue them as our provider. It would just make the necessary adjustments to the billable hours, more or less. Did I catch all that pretty much, Trevor? Are there any questions for the sheriff or Trevor on this item?
Move to approve.
Motion by Lytle, second by Dorn, after we have kept them here all morning. If there are no questions or comments, please vote. 6 in favor, motion carries. Approve or disapprove agreement between Codex Corporation, DBA Guardian RFID, effective May 8th, 2026. I'll hand this over to Mr. Lytle.
I'm going to hand it over to Trevor.
Well, I'm not for sure if you guys are aware of what that system is. I can explain that a little bit.
Sure.
The Guardian RFID system is something we've had for some time now, switching over to digital. When it comes to inmate cell checks, which are done on an hourly basis or quarter or 15-minute basis, depending on situations, any inmate movement that we're required to document when inmates move throughout the facility, med passes are documented on there, legal mail is all documented on there. Essentially, everything that we do with the inmate is documented digitally on the devices that look like cell phones that the staff carry around and scan tags and have inmates sign for medicine, legal mail, things of that nature. Meal counts, head counts, and it all gets documented and put into a website that our staff is able to get to, and also the supervisors can go in, make sure they're all doing everything correctly. If we ever have a lawsuit of any sort, this is the program we go to, the full proof of everything that we've done and with those inmates and documented it. Not everything, but majority of the things that we do with them. So we've been with the company for some time. It's that time of the year or the year where we're past a 5-year agreement and we're looking to do another 5 years. They did not increase anything with us for the year, each year, for 5 years. There are a few upgrades that we're going to be making, which is outside of the agreement and the contract itself. It's just additional cost to upgrade our system. At a very low amount, we've been able to work pricing on that. So we're going to get a little bit better bang for our buck there down the road, hopefully. But that is what that program's for. And I don't see any issues with what we're looking at. So.
Is there a motion to...
Motion to approve.
Approve. We have a motion by Lytle.
Dorn.
All right. Motion by Dorn, second by Lytle.
Yep.
To approve the Codex Corporation DBA RFID for May 8th, 26 through May 8th, 31. If there are no comments, please vote. 6 in favor, motion carries. Approve or disapprove amendment number 21 to food service contract with Summit Food Services. The amendment would be effective July 1, 26 and run through June 30th, 27. Do you want to run through this one as well, Trevor?
Yeah, Summit Foods is the company we contract that produces all of our meals for the inmates. It's a company that we've been with for some time as well. As usual, every year, everything costs more, so they jump a few cents, you know, 10 to 20 cents usually on individual meals or snacks that we require to get the inmates to have, like diabetics or certain medications are on it. Or at night with their medicine. Long story short, it's an increase. It always is an increase, unfortunately. But it's something that we're required to have for our inmates. Obviously, we got to feed them. It does break it down a little bit in there when it comes to prices. There isn't, I don't know the exact increase, but I don't believe it's a substantial or shocking amount of increase.
This morning just gathered
I had asked about it prior to today, Trevor, and it's a nominal increase. The meals are going from $1.80 to $1.89. The snacks charges are going from $1.59 to $1.67. And those are for, like, people that have special requirements. And
yeah, no, not all inmates are getting snacks like elementary school.
Right.
it's just strictly for medical needs, essentially.
Our original contract is from 2006. Have we bid this out to any other suppliers?
We have not bid it out, but we do currently almost every year have a discussion and speak with companies. Like, we go out to jail conference and shares conference. They have a lot of vendors out there. we have a lot of people that reach out to us too. Unfortunately, there is not a lot of options that can beat what we currently have. There is no option that I'm aware of that actually beats what we currently have.
No, I've checked with several options here locally, and no, we can come close to that. And that's just really dirt cheap when it comes to meals.
Yeah, and a lot of the bigger corporations that do these operations, they don't even mess with the JLR size. Just not worth it for them to do it. So,
Trevor, what's a $1.89 meal look like?
To be nice, I would, the nicest way to put it is maybe one grade below an elementary or high school meal, if you're not picky.
Not a lot of beef, Terry. It's more turkey or chicken.
It's a lot of dry goods. They do cook their own breads and cakes there.
Is your cafeteria open to the public?
No.
It wouldn't have no customers either.
We do have a, every once in a while, me and him will, we want to call a taste test, I guess, make sure everything's going. I do.
Tell me about the taste test.
Well, there's only about three or four meals that I care for.
I tell you, Terry, most of them complain about it. They've always gained weight and they leave.
Yeah, it isn't that not meeting the criteria of calories and intake, but there are, and it depends on who's cooking. Some will maybe add a little more spices to some things or a little bit more. We've had cooks over the years that would bring in some of their own spices just to make it a little bit nicer, just to be nice, but they're not required to.
But there are standards of different things that they have to meet, and correct. this meets it.
They meet it 100%. Yes. And a dietitian does oversee all that. The company is a nationwide company, and they've been doing it a long time, so they're pretty easy to work with.
These come like a prepared meal. You just got to eat.
Nope, they make them there.
You stop by once in a while. We got you checking that. Have a meal when you're in your quarterly inspection.
You might lock me up though. I don't think I want to show up.
But we do. Or if they have extras, our staff will eat the food if there's extras. If there's second course going to be cost. That sometimes that'll happen. And usually our staff will eat it up, so then they'll go away.
Motion to approve.
Second. Motion by Dorn, second by Juergens to approve Amendment 21 to the food service contract. Any additional questions or comment? If not, please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Up next, approve or disapprove buyout agreement with Edemia for live scan system fingerprint and 6-year-old maintenance in the amount of $6,450. This gets us back to the fingerprint machine that you were talking about earlier. Mr. Lytle.
But I could go into that a little bit too. So Edemia is a company that works with Nebraska State Patrol. State Patrol is the hub for all digital fingerprints, and they do everything for the whole state. Digital fingerprints has been utilized at Gage County for about 10 to 15 years, probably 15 years now. So anytime we have an inmate come in or the public comes in for fingerprinting, which is quite often actually with the public, we use a digital fingerprint machine. They call it an APIS machine or live scan. There's a lot of different words for it. But this company is the one that they've gone with some years back that does all the maintenance agreements, and essentially all the equipment itself is done through them. So we're at the end of our original agreement with them, to the point where we can now pay them a buyout amount and also pay for the first year, which is year 6 of where we're at now, for the maintenance agreement. And then have one more option of maintenance agreement for year 7 that we pay for. And after that, the original equipment we have will need to be replaced, which will, at this point, would cost roughly $48,000 total, but $9,600 a year for that. So we spoke a little bit with Gary Mr. Lytle, me and the sheriff. And right now, if we want to go with the cheapest route that could get us by for the next 2 years at minimum, would be to go the route we're trying to go with now, this option.
So the buyout, Trevor, the $3,200 for the buyout, that's the final payment?
Yeah, and then we're in ownership. Own the equipment, and then we would pay for our maintenance, which we do every year anyways, which that price is about the same as what it was last year. And then that'll get us through year six, essentially kind of starting all the way at year six. And then we have an option to go one more year, which would be year seven. And after year seven, they say, hey, we're not going to recognize the optical block, is what they call it, and all the digital equipment that requires to do the fingerprinting. So after year seven, then we're looking at, you could continue to use that equipment and then take a chance of it failing and not having a maintenance agreement. And then, you know, hey, we need to get new equipment and maybe not have it in the budget. But in my opinion, I think we should go this route, wait till the year seven, and then put it in the budget to purchase new equipment and move forward for 5 years.
So at the end of year six, is there any type of a trade-in option? Would they do something like a trade-in option where they would take that equipment, give us something for it?
They have not mentioned that. And the last time we did this, that was not an option. We were stuck with the old equipment, which really meant nothing to us at that point. So we actually had Dave dispose of it for us.
Yeah,
it's a pretty good size machine. So.
And then I guess the other question that I had is, okay, the maintenance agreement ends on year seven. Is it a functional piece of equipment for year eight, year nine, or is it definitely, happens if you don't have that maintenance
agreement? I refer to it kind of like when you have a cell phone that, you know, it eventually ages out and they say, we're not going to support it anymore. It's not going to work at all for you. And then you're stuck buying a new one. Well, they're saying at least until year seven on here. And you could gamble and go, the routers keep using it if it even works. And then, you know, maybe in the middle of the year, it stops working and we have to contact them and cough up whatever amount of money they want at that time. But
why would we not buy the seventh year maintenance agreement then?
That's what I'd like to do, but that doesn't happen until you get to year seven.
You can't.
Like, it's only 1 year at a time that you purchase.
Oh, it's not, because it's listed on here now, so I didn't know why we couldn't just.
Yeah, so the total amount is the buyout in year six. Year seven is just the option. Part of that option, if you take option one, is to go that route. So really, could we not agree to year seven if we get to year six and we want to buy new equipment? They may just say, yeah, that's fine, we'll just do that. Or especially if we didn't have any other option and the equipment failed, but we're still on their maintenance agreement, so it should be covered anyway. So.
How much does inflation affect this type of equipment?
As we all know, I'm sure it'll go up, but I don't know what that amount is. Mm-hmm.
Right now, from what he's saying, we're up over 30%. But on this, if I'm reading this right, you buy out the equipment for $3,200. We can buy year six for $3,250.
Yeah, which is required today.
And then we could buy year seven right now at $3,400.
No, well, they're saying you could buy the year seven at when we get to year seven. Like right now, we pay that rough amount every year already. So every year we take it out of our budget to pay that amount.
It says there. Well, it's locked in. It's just due after year six. Because if you read in the print, it's due after year six.
The only thing that's due now is the buyout in year six.
I guess what Eric is saying is we're locked in for that year seven.
Yeah. On option one, you're locked in for year seven. Now, if something obviously happened, we're in the agreement maintenance-wise, so we'd be it's kind of like a warranty, so we'd be covered for any replacement that you're done. We talked about, okay, well, what's the cheapest right now? You know, we all know money matters. And so if you want to try to make it to year 7, cheapest route to get us by, this is the route that I would choose.
Because otherwise we'd have no benefit and we'd spend another 50 grand and it would do the same thing as another 3,400.
We're going to get the same thing, but if you look at it as an inflation, that way, if we wait 2 more years and then sign for a 5-year, it may go up. It may not. I don't know. But
yeah, is it going to be $3,200? Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
Here's a question then. So this, we have to have this because of the state patrol keeping those fingerprints, correct?
Right. So it isn't just taking the fingerprints. It actually sends all that information straight to state patrol, and that's what gets put on their, say if we want to pull up someone's criminal history, whether the courts are doing that or the county attorney's office, whatever it is, all that information is put in because it's documented through that system.
Right? So can we fingerprint here and for FFL stuff, concealed carry items, hazmat? All that stuff can be done here instead of having to go to Lincoln.
Charging for it. We do charge them, of course, so does Lincoln. We're actually cheaper than they are.
That's a benefit to people.
Big time.
You have to go to Lincoln.
It's surprising actually how
many hazmat and everything before.
Alone.
It was Grand Island or Omaha.
Or Omaha, you're right. It was Omaha. We had to go
Grand Island
hazmat
or Omaha,
stuff.
Yeah,
and you have to make appointments up there. But we try our best to get them in as quick as we can here. BSCC is another one. They send a lot of their employees.
Big time.
Any daycare. It's becoming to be a lot of things. Liquor license.
So this is also a convenience for the public.
Yep. Very much.
Yeah, it's a well-needed piece of equipment. Go ahead.
Have you had any problems with it in the first 5 years?
It actually works relatively well, and then any issues we do have, it can almost be done completely remotely.
But the maintenance agreement, we're guaranteed. It's like buying another warranty where
it's just
anything that goes wrong.
Yeah, they usually respond with them.
I would say that as long as we can.
We don't have any issues with working with them at all. We've been doing this for a while with them.
So I agree with you, Eric. We're hiring on with a grant writer. It might be something where we start to have grant writer look for the possibility of replacing this in year 7.
Yeah.
I mean, that might be
that
something that they're able to work on.
There's several different grants, probably.
Right.
Options.
I did respond to them. They said they were going to reach out to me, and I got an email back from them on that. So on the 22nd.
22nd.
For the grant writer.
Oh.
No. It's 22nd.
On the 22nd.
You're saying disapprove the buyout?
No, approve it.
Approve the buyout.
Second. Moved by Juergens, second by Dorn to approve the buyout and year 6 maintenance agreement on the Ademia? Is that how you say that?
Ademia
Live Scan fingerprint. Juergens and Dorn, any discussion? If not, please vote. 6 in favor, motion carries. Did I hear from Mr. Lytle that Mr. Juergens couldn't leave because of a closed session?
We do have one of those that we need to have, don't we?
I didn't see it on the agenda.
Is there anything else for the good of the order in public before we go into closed? Ms. Haxby? Mm-hmm. Anything before we go into closed? Do you want a quick recess before we close or no? We will take a 5-minute recess at 10:19. Following that, we will go into a closed session for contractual update.
Potential
litigation. We will take no action in or after closed session. We'll reconvene at 10:25. I'd ask for a motion to go in closed session necessary for the protection of the public interest so that we can talk about potential litigation. We have a motion by Lytle, second by Rick, to go into closed session at 10:25 on the clock. Please vote. 5-0. 5 in favor with Mr. Juergens escaping.
Motion by
Lytle. Claybaugh. We are in closed session. We'll reconvene at 11:16 a.m. I'd ask for a motion to come out of closed session. Moved by Claybaugh, second by Dorn. Come out of closed session at 11:16. Please vote. 6 and 5 in favor. Anything else for the good of the order? We will be moving forward with removing everything from the old secretary or the old superintendent of the school's room, which is currently overloaded with files. Everything will be moved or scanned by the end of the year.
I think it's fair additional to say help that to we're just trying to digitize everything.
Digitizing all information.
Storing things in a historic building.
Also, the little boardroom and any other vaults, everything will be scanned and removed. We'll help any way we can. And if there are things that pop up that we don't know about yet, we'll still try to assist with those hiccups. And we will adjourn at 11:17.